Wayne didn't have his PowerPoint this morning, I thought I'd better pick up the slack. Just kidding, Wayne. But if you'd like to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 7, that's where we'll begin in just a second. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. It's really good to see everybody here this evening. Especially grateful to those of you who may be visiting with us. We would invite you back for any opportunity that you have. And if you have anything, any question, or anything about anything we do here tonight, please don't hesitate to ask. And we'll strive to give you an answer from the Scriptures, which is our only authority. If you'll indulge me for just a second, I'm going to brag on my grandparents for a second. Y'all all know Mom and Pa, as I know them. And the thing that I want to brag about in just a second is how giving they are. They've given so much to me my whole life, but especially since I've been here, they're always paying for my meals, letting me borrow stuff and use stuff, letting me come over and watch ESPN since suddenly took it away from me. And they've even let me live with them for a while. But they aren't generous just to me. Anyone would tell you how generous they are. Whether it's letting all the young people come over and play basketball at their house or helping build the Lindell Library, they're just good, giving people. And that's not to say that they're loose with their money. Everybody knows that Pa is very frugal, very good with his money, but when it comes to others, they're very giving people. And I thought a lot about that here recently, and I realized that I need to be like that. That I need to be a giving, generous person. And we all need to be that way in our lives. We all have a need for Christian generosity. Notice with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. The context here is talking about giving, specifically about the collection for the Judean saints. And Paul tells these Corinthian brethren in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7, "But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also." This grace referring to the giving, the generosity that these brethren need to have for these needy saints. And he tells them that they abound in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in their love for them. And we look at those Christian attributes, things that Christians are supposed to be, things that Christians are supposed to do, and we're familiar with those things. We know that we need to abound in faith and diligence and in love. We know we need to do those things and abound in those things to be good Christian people. But I think sometimes we forget that we need to abound in giving as well. And if we aren't always willing and eager to help others with what we have, we simply can't be pleasing to God. We need to remember that generosity, and our generosity, begins by our giving our all to Christ. That's where it starts. Our giving starts with what we give to Christ. Look in Luke chapter 9. We'll turn on there. Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 57. Jesus outlines here just how much we are to give to him. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Then he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." And another also said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house." But Jesus said to him, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Now these seem like pretty good excuses, and we've made that point before, that going and burying your father or saying goodbye to your loved ones, those seem like valid excuses to wait just a little while before going and following Christ. But the point that Jesus is making here is that in comparison to our service to Him, these aren't good excuses. That we have to lay aside everything else, no matter how important it might be, and give ourselves entirely to Him. Give our all to Him. That putting Christ first in our lives should override everything else. And I think we all understand that. But I think there's a great example in the Old Testament that really shows exactly how far we should go with this. Notice in 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning at verse 19. We see here that Elisha is called to follow by Elijah. First Kings chapter 19, beginning in verse 19. So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle, or his cloak, his garment, on him, essentially asking Elisha to follow him. And in verse 20, and then he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Please, let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." That sounds pretty familiar, doesn't it? And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" What Elijah is basically saying there is, that's not good enough. Okay, you'll follow me after you do that. That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking for you to leave everything and follow me right now. We'll see what Elisha's response was in verse 21. So Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and broiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and served him. Elisha got it right, didn't he? He understood that he was going to have to forsake everything else. In order to follow Elijah, he was going to have to give his life entirely to that. And he couldn't have anything else standing in the way. He understood that in comparison to following Elijah, following this great prophet of God, saying goodbye to his father or mother or having his yoke of oxen really wasn't that important. He was willing to go sell all that he had and give it to the poor in order to follow Elijah. And we need to have that same attitude when it comes to following Christ. We need to be willing to give all that we have in order to follow Him. And then you may say, "Well, I'm willing to do that." But their actions don't exactly show. They say, "I'm giving all to Christ." And yet they're takers instead of givers. They want something for nothing. They want others to give to them. They hoard up their stuff for a quote-unquote rainy day. Yet they say, "I've given all to Christ. I've given my entire life to Him." Those two things don't seem compatible to me. I think this attitude is often justified when we say, "Well, spiritually I give all that I have to Christ. I read and study, I pray, I come to services. I'm giving my spiritual all." And while it is true that our focus needs to be on spiritual things, how we use our physical blessings and abilities is an indication of whether we really have the right focus, spiritual focus or not. How giving are we with the physical things that we have been given? It's a good question to consider when we consider how generous we are when it comes to giving our all to Christ. If we aren't generous with the physical things that we've been given in this life, then that just shows that we aren't as giving as we should be when it comes to our lives and service to Christ. Notice Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31. Jesus shows that there is a direct connection between what we do here on this earth when it comes to many physical things and then our spiritual relationship with Him. In Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 31, we see this scene that Jesus is laying out, that the Son of Man came in glory with all of His angels, the nations gathered before Him, and He divided them. On His left hand, He had the goats. On His right hand, He had the sheep. And then, in verse 34, notice what the king will say to those on His right hand. "Come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me."
Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? You can hear the confusion in their voice saying, Lord, we never saw you. We never did these things to you. When did we do this? Notice the answer there in verse 40. And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the angel and his devils. And he goes through the same list with them, saying that he was hungry and they gave him no food. He was thirsty. They gave him no drink. He was a stranger. They didn't take him in. Naked and they didn't clothe him. Sick and in prison and they didn't visit him. And their response is the same as those that were faithful. And they say, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it, you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away to everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life. The things that we do for those people around us provide a good indication of whether we're giving all that we have in service to Christ. The least of these. What are we giving to the least of these around us? What are we giving to our friends and neighbors? What are we giving to strangers? What are we willing to give as Christians? Without a generous and giving life here on earth, without the small things that we should be doing every day to help others, we really aren't giving our all to Christ. So we need to realize that we need to be giving to the least of these. We need to be a giving people as Christians. We need to be generous people as Christians. And our generosity ought to be manifested in three main ways. In our time, in our effort, and in our money. And likewise, a lack of generosity is the product of selfishness, is driven by laziness, and is a reflection of our greed. We need to see that in order to be generous, we must give of our time. And if we aren't giving of our time, it's simply showing a selfishness on our part. Notice Luke chapter 10 and verse 29. Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 25, we have the parable of the Good Samaritan, a parable that we're all fairly familiar with. And this lawyer comes and asks Jesus what he needs to do in order to inherit eternal life. And Jesus asks him, well, what's written in the law? And he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, you have answered rightly, do this and you will live. Well, he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Notice in verse 30. Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. This parable is really all about giving. This priest and this Levite, they were simply too busy to stop. They had their own plans. They had their own duties. They had their own responsibilities. These were important men. They were about important business. They didn't have the time or take the time to stop. They selfishly thought about what they had to do rather than what needed to be done. And that can be the temptation for us as well. We are so busy in this life. We have so much going on. Between work and school and the activities that we need to have, we have so many different things that we're trying to do all at one time, trying to keep up. in the rat race in which we live. We have all these different things on our plate, and sometimes we forget to do the things that are really the most important. We neglect the small things in our selfishness. I'm busy, so I don't have time to stop. On my trip up to Tennessee here, I guess a couple weeks ago, I was driving along at a pretty good clip down the interstate. I was really excited about getting there. I had a lot that I needed to do. I was excited about seeing my friends. I was excited about seeing a girl. I needed to work on my lesson that I was going to do the next day. I knew that there were some people that I needed to talk to that were really struggling spiritually, and I wanted to have time to talk with them while I was up there. There were some people that I had gotten in contact with that might be a good opportunity for some converts. I really had a lot going on, a lot on my plate, and so I really needed to get there. Well, kind of goes hand in hand with this man beside the road, I guess. I see this young lady sitting there with a flat tire. And I moved over to the right lane, and I was going to stop. I thought, you know, I've got so much I got to do. And yeah, she's hurting physically, but there's some people that are really hurting spiritually that I'm going to have to go and see. And I got a little ways further down the road, and I shamed myself into stopping. I couldn't believe that I had almost left a young lady by the side of the road by herself. That's not the way I was raised. That's not the way I was brought up. And that's not what the scriptures tell me to do. And so I put my grand dam in reverse and went down the shoulder in reverse for about a mile. and got back there. And you know what? It only took about 10 minutes to change that tire. I had a jack and a four-way in my trunk. It really wasn't that big of a deal. Yet I thought I was so busy, in such a hurry, that I didn't have time for that. That's exactly the kind of generosity that we can't forget to have in our lives. We can never be too busy to stop for somebody in need, whatever the case might be. And maybe we should ask ourselves, why exactly are we in such a hurry? You know, our job is still going to be there tomorrow. The things that we need to get done around the house, they're still going to be there tomorrow. Our class at school is still going to be there tomorrow. But this opportunity that we have to stop and help somebody, this is the only time we're going to have that opportunity. And we never know what impact that might have. You know, I'll probably never hear or see from that young lady again. I don't even know her name. But who knows what impact that might have had on her, that somebody was willing to stop and help her out in a time of need. You know, plenty of cars were going by right there along with me. When I got back there, nobody else had stopped. That's the world in which we live. And if we want to really be Christians and show the Christian attitude, we're going to have to rise above that. We're going to have to be a different, peculiar people that takes time to be generous in our lives. The second thing that we need to be generous in is in our effort. And oftentimes a lack of generosity is driven by laziness on our part. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 13 says, "The lazy man says, there is a lion in the road. A fierce lion is in the streets." Now, a lion being in the road seems like a pretty good excuse, but the point that this scripture is trying to make is lazy people are always going to have an excuse for not doing what they need to do. There's always going to be a lion in the streets, a lion of some kind that keeps them from going and doing the work that needs to be done. And lazy people do always have an excuse, don't they? Some reason why they aren't doing what they need to do. Well, I think sometimes we can become lazy when it comes to our giving. No, we wouldn't be lazy when it came to our job or to our family or to prayer or study. So why then should we become lazy when it comes to giving? Well, I'm afraid that we sometimes develop the be warmed and filled mentality of giving that's seen in James chapter 2. If you'll turn over there. please. In James chapter 2, this is in the context of the discussion of faith and works. And beginning in verse 15, it says, "If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which they are needed for the body, what does it profit?" Well, that's a pretty good question, isn't it? What does that profit? I want you to be well. I want you to be warmed and filled. But I'm not going to do anything about that. I'm afraid sometimes that's the attitude that we develop. That yes, we want them to be warmed and filled. We want somebody to give them something. Give them the things they have need of. But we need to take the action ourselves. We need to take the initiative to do it myself. We need to make the effort and commitment to be giving and generous. But we have plenty of legitimate excuses why we aren't generous, don't we? We have our lions in the streets as well. Listen to some of these and tell me if any of them sound familiar. "I'm supposed to be a good steward of the blessings God has given me. And that means not wasting it on every little thing that comes up." Well, yes, we are supposed to be good stewards. We are supposed to be good stewards of the blessings God has given us. And that means being good with our money. But why do we do that? We do that so we can be generous and giving when the opportunity arises. Well, it wouldn't really help them anyway, either because they can't be helped or because I don't have enough to help them. They need to stand on their own two feet. That's a pretty good one. "I'll use the money better than they would." There are others helping them, or maybe no one else is helping them. Why should I choose to help? There are others who are better suited to help than me because they have more money or more experience or more time. I have my own problems and needs that people need to help me with. I know what they'll do with anything I do or give to them. They'll squander the money or not appreciate the help that I give to them. So why should I be generous? I don't have time to do it. I don't have the means to do it. I don't have the money to help out. Well, those are just some of the ones that I could come up with. But the sad thing is that I've personally used or heard used every single one of those from that list. And I'm talking about Christians, folks. I'm not talking about people of the world. We can't make excuses for not being giving people. We can't make excuses for not being generous like we should. We all have our different needs in this life. Some of us may not be able to be generous in some ways that other people might be. But we all have our blessings and our talents, different though they might be, that we can use to give to other people, to help other people. Like we should. James chapter 4 and verse 17 says, "Therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." We know that we need to give, don't we? We know that we need to be generous. Why don't we just go ahead and do it? Why do we have such a hard time with giving? We can clearly see how we should abound in faith and speech and knowledge and diligence and love that we saw there in 2 Corinthians 8. So why not generosity? If we refuse to do the good things we know we should do, it's sin. And God is not going to accept our excuses. Great though they might be, that's not going to cut it with God. Because He wants us. He asks us and He tells us that we need to be giving people. The third way that we need to be giving is in regard to our material blessings. And if we refuse to be giving in this way, it's really a reflection of our greed. Notice Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, This is just a couple verses after Jesus talked about laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust does not destroy and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And then in verse 24, he says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Mammon is the idea of riches or physical, material things. We need to understand when it comes to the material blessings that we have in this life, we need to be giving with those things. And if we refuse to be giving or generous with the material blessings God has given us, it really means that we have chosen to serve mammon. We have chosen to put riches above the spiritual things in this life that are really important. And there are so many different ways that we could talk about that, so many different ways, manifestations of that. But one small way that I'd like to talk about for just a second that maybe would bring the point home, it really did for me, is tipping at a restaurant. We go to a restaurant, we eat out. Do we think about the tip that we leave for the waiter or waitress? That's a pretty small thing, isn't it? That's not a big thing in the grand scheme of things. But I've talked, and I'm friends with, several waiters and waitresses who are Christians. And they've told me that it was the common attitude at every restaurant that they worked that they hated to see a church group come in, because they knew they were going to get a bad tip, no matter how good their service was. Isn't that embarrassing? Isn't that embarrassing that people hate to see us coming because we're stingy? That's not what I want to be said about me. And people may say, "Well, I don't really have the money to leave a big tip." Well, you don't have to leave a huge tip, but you need to leave a good one. And if you don't have the money to do that, why are you eating out? Well, a lot of people will say, "Well, that's a silly example. My tipping at a restaurant bears nothing whatsoever on who I am as a Christian." Well, how about a more relevant example, I guess? What about our giving to support the work of the congregation? If $150,000 is spent on a house, $20,000 on a car, $10,000 on a boat, $300 on a set of golf clubs, and $5 to the collection, that simply doesn't cut it, folks. We need to be giving. Giving of the material things that we have. Where are our priorities? On ourselves and what we want? What's good for us? What makes our life easier? What makes our life richer? What fills our life with more mammon? Or what we can give to other people? What's more important to us? The question that we need to ask ourselves is, am I being more liberal in giving to others or in my giving to myself? We all need to be able to answer that. I'm being more liberal in my giving to others. And my giving to other people is more important than what I get and give to myself. That's not to say that we can't have money in the bank or nice things as Christians. But we cannot allow what we want to override what others need. So this is another way that we need to be giving people. Well, at this point in the lesson, I'm sure there's somebody out there somewhere who says, "Okay, all right, I'll give. I understand. That's what God wants me to do." Well, unfortunately, that's not all of it. We need to give in the right way. And that means giving the right amount with the right attitude. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2. This is regarding the collection for the saints, specifically for the Judean brethren that we mentioned earlier. But I think it applies to all giving. When it says, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there will be no collections when I come. This is not necessarily, this specifically is talking about money, but I don't think it necessarily has to be applied to just that. But we have been all, we've all been blessed in different ways, and we need to use those blessings, whether they are material blessings or whether they're the talents that we have, or simply our time and service to God and our fellow man, generously. We need to use them as we have been prospered. I don't know about you, but I have been prospered a lot. I'm pretty well off. I live in America. I have a lot of good things, a lot of nice things. And because of that, I should be willing to give. Luke chapter 21, beginning in verse 1, shows how much we should be willing to give. Luke chapter 21, beginning in verse 1. And he, this being Jesus, looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in 2 mites. So he said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God. But she out of her poverty has put in all the livelihood that she had. The question that stands before us is the same one that Jesus posed to the rich young ruler. Are we willing to sell all that we have and give it to the poor? Are we willing to give up all of our material blessings to help those in need? Are we really willing to give up all physical things in order to serve Christ? That's a pretty good question, isn't it? We're so blessed here in America, each and every one of us, that maybe that isn't really necessary. But the day may be coming when it is necessary for us to give up all that we have materially to help someone else. What am I willing to do? What am I willing to give? Am I willing to give up everything to help someone else? I think about that long and hard. And I hope that my answer would be yes. But I've grown accustomed to nice things. I've grown accustomed to good things in this life. I'm well off in the grand scheme of things. But I need to be willing to give all of that up to serve God. And not only that, but be willing to give it all up to help someone in need, especially of the household of faith. We need to be willing to give up whatever is needed, up to all that we have, if that means helping someone else. That's the right amount, whatever is needed by those in need. Well, okay, I'm willing to give up everything that I need, or everything that someone else needs. I'm willing to be generous in this life. Well, one more thing is required of us. We have to be willing to give with the right attitude. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 5. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your bountiful gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity, not as a grudging obligation. Boy, that says it pretty well, a grudging obligation. I know I have to do this. In verse 6, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. We need to be cheerful when we give. What a great opportunity we have to help someone else, to give as someone else needs. The saying goes, it's better to give than receive.
And we quote that a lot, especially around Christmas time when there's exchangings of gifts and stuff like that.
But do we really mean that? Is it really better to give than to receive? Well, I think anyone who has truly given of themselves to help someone else, whatever it might be, has seen what that did for that person that they gave to, and also for them as the giver. Anybody who has been through that knows that it really is better to give than to receive. And above everything else, God has set the example in promising us so much more than we could ever give to Him. But that doesn't mean that we can't try to give that much, to give as much as God has set the example. We know that he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. We need to sow bountifully on this earth, sow bountifully with the things that we have, so that we can reap bountifully when the last day comes. And hopefully, that reaping bountifully will be going to be with our Lord in heaven. That's where I want to be. That's where I hope you want to be. But the only way we're going to get there is if we give. And the funny thing is, it wasn't ours to begin with. Everything we have comes from God. We're just giving back what He has already given us. I think we all know that we need to be giving people, that we need to be generous people as Christians. That's pretty fundamental to who we are, that we are willing to help those in need, that we are more than the people around us so many times that we see who aren't willing to give of themselves, but only think of themselves and what this is going to give to me, what I'm going to get out of this. Let it not be the case with us. Let us be giving people. Because if we are willing to give, God has already given and is willing to give so much more, more than we can ever imagine, if we simply come to Him and do what He asks us to do. And if you're not a Christian, that means believing His word, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Christ, and being baptized for the remission of those sins. And begin living the life that a Christian ought to live, receiving the greatest gift that has ever been given. And that's salvation and being able to go to be with God in heaven. If you're already a Christian, yet you have found yourself greedy in this life, not giving like you should, make it right today. Make it right this evening. Begin giving of yourself. And in that way, we can be shining lights and examples to those who are in the world. Because that is gift different. That is different than what we see. But if we're a giving people, we'll be right with God and have an influence on other people. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, we invite you to come while together we stand and sing.